Hey everyone, welcome back to Manzi's Magic, brought to you by Dimes on Duval. A not so chilly December day. I mean, should be expected more chilly the rest of this week, but recording here before Christmas for you. So if you're listening before Christmas, Merry Early Christmas to you. If you're listening after Christmas, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And this is a very special episode for me because this is my first Manzi's Magic that I'll actually have someone alongside of me. And right now joining me is Mike Yazji of Dimes on Duval, my counterpart there. Mike, welcome.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing wonderful because we were both blessed with some excellent news right now. Like, while we're sitting here talking about this show, we literally get two drops of news that were almost, they were expected, but, you know, it was 5:30, you know, it's 5:30 currently, and I'm like, Are we gonna hear something about this? I haven't seen anything, but the big news is the two young guns for the Orlando Magic, Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz, have just agreed to extensions. So Markelle Fultz, a 3-year, $50 million extension, and Isaac with a 4-year, $80 million extension. Immediate reactions, Mike.
I'm pumped. The reason why I'm pumped is because now we locked down our future for at least another few years. Now, granted, Jonathan Isaac is not going to play this upcoming season due to tearing his ACL this past season in the bubble while we're playing for a playoff berth. Now, it does suck. I do like Jonathan Isaac. He did come out of Florida State, so I did see him play while I was, I believe, actually I might have missed Jonathan Isaac by a year when I was there, but he's a talented, power forward, big man. I'm excited for his future. He definitely can shoot the ball. He's getting better at shooting the ball before their injury. So I'm definitely excited for Jonathan Isaac to stay as a part of the Magic for the next few years and be a key part of the rebuild. As for Markelle Fultz, I absolutely love this re-signing. Now we get to pair him with Cole Anthony and be our point guards and, I guess, shooting guard of the future. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Markelle Fultz does. I know Markelle, from what I've seen with interviews, he loved being in Orlando. He loved that Orlando took a shot on him after Philadelphia pretty much gave up on him after he was drafted number one overall a few years ago. So I'm definitely pumped to see Markelle Fultz stay in Orlando long-term here.
I'm right there with you. As a huge Markelle Fultz fan, I'm extremely excited about this. And Jonathan Isaac is, I still think he has the potential to be a very, very big star in this league. But like you said, that ACL tear might have been one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen. I remember I was watching the game on my phone in the car, and I saw it. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was at home watching because I'm working from home. And during the bubble, I was like, okay, I'm watching as many Magic games as I can. And then I saw that injury, and I was like, oh, no. Because he is just coming back from a knee injury, which makes it even harder to digest because I want to see Jonathan Isaac healthy. But I think this is a sign that the Magic do believe that he'll come back at full strength. And a key, they want to make sure that he knows that he's a part of our future and definitely part of our rebuilding project.
Absolutely. And I think that's huge. You know, they're not going to sit here and, you know, you never know. He could have gotten more money if he wasn't injured, but they're not, I feel like in my eyes, they're not punishing him for getting hurt because the guy has still a very high ceiling. When he came back from the injury, he still looked like he had pep in his step. He was still bouncing around. I mean, it's hard to believe, you know, he had just had an injury before because he definitely did not look like that at all. So with that, the last season, I mean, can you literally like make anything up to make it look exactly like the year before? Like, I can't believe how similar it was to the year before. You make the playoffs, you're a bottom seed or whatever, you know, a low seed, you get excited because you win the first round, the first game of the first round
matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. And beat this time the Bucks instead of the Raptors. And then you lose 4-1. I think the biggest story of last year was injuries. Everyone got hurt. I mean, Alfred Kaminu barely played. DJ was hurt for a while. Mo Bamba had COVID. I'm trying to think of anyone who didn't get hurt. I don't know if did Kent Birch
would be the
Birch. Vooch was hurt a little bit. T. Ross was hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
Isaac, Gordon, Fultz, Evan.
Everyone all missed time. All I'm pretty sure everyone missed at least a game or two. Yeah. So it really did impact us, especially in a short NBA come back from the suspension, so definitely did not help things, especially when we're trying to make the playoffs. Every game mattered, and yeah, injuries bit us in the butt, and we weren't going to do anything anyways, but injuries definitely played a part in us not having major success in the NBA playoffs last year.
Yeah, it was a sad sight to see, but you know, we're back. Not anything flashy or flashy done in the off season. We bring in a couple new guys that, I mean, I think if you're just a regular NBA fan, you've probably never heard of any of them. I mean, Jordan Bone, who played a year last year for Detroit. He's out of Tennessee. Quick, name another former Magic player that played for Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I really feel stupid for that, but I'm drawing a blank.
It's all right. Tobias Harris. Why that noise?
He wasn't even that great in Orlando.
Yeah, he was probably one of the best on the team at the time, though, because we sucked.
Well, yeah, what, 20-win team?
Yeah, yeah, not great. But, yeah, so we bring in Jordan Bone. We bring in, oh, man, what's his name? Oh, Kareem, I think it's Mene. I'm not quite sure. He is from Senegal. So he's from Senegal, but he played all of his basketball in Canada. And he was an undrafted player, but he went to Vinay College, a French college up there, obviously, because, you know, French provinces and such. But the dude, I think, could be a really good two-way player. I mean, I say that a lot. I try and give the two-way players a benefit of the doubt. But, you know, last couple of years, like Melvin Frazier Jr. and guys like that, they just weren't very good. Jarrell Martin, you know, I'm trying to think of some of these dinky guys. Josh Maget was okay, but, you know, still. But we're not really focused on those guys because they're not going to really have a big impact right now. But I wanted to quickly ask you about Dwayne Bacon. So Dwayne Bacon, as we know, came from Charlotte. What else do we know about him?
I know that he went to Florida State, so I do know a little bit more about him. I did actually see him play while I was in Tallahassee. I do remember seeing Dwayne Bacon play.
Well, he was there with Isaac, definitely, and you saw Isaac.
No, Isaac. Dwayne Bacon stayed for 2 years, I believe, and and Isaac was only a one-and-done player. Okay. So I'm not
okay.
I believe I missed Isaac by year, but I know for a fact I saw Dwayne Bacon because I remember when I was in college, I did see some games. There were some fans dressing up as bacon slices. So that's something that was very popular at Florida State when Leonard Hamilton was getting the program back and running up to where they are now. But that's beside the point. As for Dwayne Bacon, he is definitely someone who can be an aggressive scorer if he wants to be. He is someone who does get back on defense. I think he does a solid job on defense. Now, the only thing I do question about him sometimes is his shooting. I remember his freshman year in college, he was an okay shooter. He improved his sophomore year. And I think he's improved slowly every year since he came into the NBA. Now, I do think his biggest issue is consistency, which we all know as Magic fans is our biggest issue.
Absolutely.
When it comes to shooting. So I do think Dwayne Bacon can bring a spark off the bench, can score when needed. Now, he's not going to be an at-will dominant scorer, but I think he'll provide probably about 12 to 13 points maybe off the bench, maybe 15, depends on the night. He can go for 20 a night. It just depends on how much they want to use him. And especially if the Magic do decide to deal Evan Fournier, I could see him getting a lot more playing time if they do decide to trade Evan Fournier and his expiring contract.
That would be exciting to see. Bacon, yeah, has a relationship with Coach Clifford as well. So that is a nice addition too, since both Charlotte guys. But, you know, another guy that's young. You know, he's only been in the league 3 years. And this team is still, I would say, middle grade. I wouldn't say super young. I wouldn't say old at all. Definitely not old. We only have one player that has 10 years under their belts. Do you know who that is?
Is it Vooch?
It is not. He has 9 years.
Oh, okay, close enough. I did not know. Is it Birch? Not only Birch.
Birch is a young gun. Alfred Camino, 10 years in the league.
Oh, I forgot he's on the roster.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you have Vooch with 9 years under his belt. T-Ross is 8. Evan also with 8. 7.
Wait, how long has Birch been on the roster? I feel like he's been on there for a while. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Maybe he looks old.
Ken Burch, he's only been in the league 3 years. He does look old. He's hairline.
Maybe that's why, yeah.
But no, he's got the he's got the braids now. I think we have the most braids slash dreads in the NBA now. I mean, you've got Kem, you've got Michael Carter Williams, you've got Cole Anthony and Markelle Fultz. Aaron Gordon's got the beautiful fro now. I love that. But one player that I left out on purpose that I wanted to talk about, and we'll actually talk about this together. Our favorite players are, excuse me, let me rephrase that. The player we're most excited to watch for this coming season, and I'm going to start with this one if you don't mind. I'm going to go ahead and go with Chuma Okeke. So he's technically a rookie because he sat out all last season with an injury. Former Auburn player. I am just excited right off the bat because the guy can shoot threes. I mean, I'm a huge three-point guy. That's why I love T. Ross, but he can shoot the three. He shot, I think, like 42% through the exhibition games or something, right around 40%. Shot right around 40% in college as well. He can play defense. He's got that Stan Van Gundy, I can shoot threes, but then I can run back and play defense too mentality, and I like that a lot. So I think the biggest thing we don't know about him is if he's going to be able to create his own offensive package. He's not really a shot creator. He doesn't really have any post moves, but that could be just due to lack of, you know, playing. So I think he's got more potential in the shooting department than Aaron Gordon ever had. So I'm excited already to see him. Look for him to probably go wherever he's needed, but most likely I can see him backing up Aaron Gordon in the four spot. It's either him or Gary Clark, and I'd much rather have him on the floor than Gary Clark, to be honest. And he can play the three as well. So that's my player I'm looking forward to the most, Chuma Okeke. Who you got?
I've got Markelle Fultz. Reason being, I know he just became a Orlando Magic player as of last year, just got the extension. Now I want to see if he's going to be worth this money that we're paying him. Now, he did struggle in Philadelphia developing a shot. I don't know what happened. His shoulder was hurt. I don't know what happened in Philadelphia. No one knows what happened, why Markelle Fultz was such a great shooter in college and then went to very bad in the NBA. Something happened.
Very bad. Very interesting. Very easy way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how he improves his jump shot, improves his shooting in his second year with the Magic. So, second full year?
Second full year. He kind of, like, yes. Goofed off on the bench. Or, I don't know, 2019 was a weird year. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, So, I definitely expect to see – I want to see some improvement from Markelle Fultz in that aspect of the shooting because we desperately need shooting. And that's why we drafted Cole Anthony this year, because that's also something I'm interested in, both those point guards. One, to see how they gel together, because Anthony and Fultz will be our backcourt of the future, more than likely.
Yeah,
so
the departure of DJ Augustine, that definitely left a hole for the backup. I mean, MCW's there.
I don't know about a hole. I don't know how big of a hole you're talking about. But
I mean, a guard that can shoot. How about that?
That's fair, yeah. And Cole Anthony, I think if he plays well enough, Clifford's going to have to say, look, Fultz, Markelle, Cole, you guys are both going to be on the court at the same time. Let's see what we can do. And I think that could cause some real quick ball movement, could really make things interesting to watch for Orlando and the offense. And I just want to see Markelle get better at shooting, because we know Cole Anthony can shoot the ball. We saw it in college.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to see if Markelle can bring back what he had in college at University of Washington. So I'm definitely interested to see Markelle Fultz develop his jump shot and get better at shooting and be more efficient as a shooter. And trust his jump shot more. Because I know everyone, when you're a shooter, you don't want to lose that faith in your jump shot. So I definitely want to see Markelle Fultz keep that trust in his shot and never give up on it. Because he's definitely a star and possibly a star in the making. And as a baller.
I definitely agree. I would love to see more of that. I mean, we already know how crafty he is around the rim. I'd love for him to be able to stretch offenses, or stretch defenses, excuse me, because, you know, it's sometimes tough when the defense knows that he's coming down the floor. they know they can give him about 3 or 4 feet because they're not going to expect him to pull up, because 9 times out of 10, it's probably not going to go in. And we did see slight improvement last season, but I definitely, yeah, I want to see that next step for him. So that's about it for the magic part portion of what we wanted to talk about. If you guys,
quick question, Keith, I want to add one more thing. One question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Rank these three players in terms of trade people you're more likely to trade away: Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Vucevic. Who are, in your opinion, rank those 1 to 3. Who would you most want to get rid of, and least in order to least?
I most want to get rid of.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's easy. You're good. No, I was thinking like as the team. I'm like, oh God, I don't know. Okay,
number. So who would you? Okay, we'll go with you first, and I'll talk about maybe the team.
All right, well, quickly on the team. I'll go with number 3 as my, you know, the last option I'd like to trade, and that's going to be Aaron Gordon. I don't want to trade Aaron Gordon. I like what he's becoming. I still think he has more improvement ahead of him, and I think he is more than, like, say, you know, Mo Bamba or something like that, of somebody that like had a high ceiling but would never reach it. I think he can reach that ceiling. And then we skip ahead to number 1, most to trade, Evan Fournier, because golly, man, the guy's 28 and still just has one aspect of his game. It's shoot and miss and shoot and miss and get fouled and drive and miss and just, and it's just frustrating as a fan. Excuse me, to watch that over and over and over again. Which leaves Vucevic as number 2. God, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I want to see Vuc retire as a Magic player. And granted, he's only 30. You know, I'm not saying he should be hinting at retirement, but I want him to stay in the pinstripes till the end. I really, really do love Nikola Vucevic. And shout out to you for getting me that Vuc jersey. I'm excited to wear that this season as well.
Yes, sir. So my thought is, 1, I agree, 1, Fournier. 2, so I think Vucevic is number 2 due to the fact that he is still a big man who can score on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, he is a defensive liability, which may scare some teams from trading for him. But I don't know. I think Vucevic has the most trade value. Yep. I just don't see the Magic trading him. But they have to pick between him. They have to pick one of these to trade away eventually. They can't keep all 3. I don't think they're going to keep Fournier longer. I don't know.
I don't think they could live with themselves in front. Or they couldn't face this fan base if they traded away Aaron Gordon after trading away so many other young I wouldn't say stars, but young prospects. And just like, yeah, I really don't think they could live with themselves. People would riot. People would want to burn Alex Martins to the stake.
I think they already want to do that a lot, but that's, yeah, no. So do you think that any of them get moved this year? Just a recap on the Magic, segment.
I don't. I something crazy would have to happen. There would have to be someone that really, really catches the front office's eye for that to happen. But I don't know. It's kind of, 2020 has already been weird, and I just don't see it happening, just because of the fact of, you know, either A, injuries, B, just, hey, you know what, let's just run this back and see what happens here and maybe increase, or, you know, see what kind of trade value we can get for these guys.
Yeah, I think that if anyone had to get traded, I think Fournier is not going to be a part of the roster by the end of the season. I just don't.
I would love that. I know our listeners would love that, but I mean,
I don't see Fournier staying on the Magic this long. He's getting overpaid. Someone's going to take him because he's a shooter. He can shoot. So some playoff team that's looking to make a deep run, who's missing a shooter, could possibly trade for him. So we'll see.
And that's fair. And that's fair. Just because, you know, he is in the last year of his contract, so it would be an easy just, you know, what's his name? J.R. Smith move, where you sign him for the rest of the season and just be like, all right, well, yeah, like, show us what you got. Shoot a couple threes with the second unit and then come back out. And if we want to resign you, we will. If not, go sign with the Pistons, you know, or some random team, you know? So, yeah, I like that. So if you guys want to hear more Magic stuff, send stuff our way. We'd love to talk to you. I mean, Mike's here. If he's not here, I don't mind either way, because I like to have another perspective. Like, that question was a good question I never would have thought of. But if you guys want, we can talk more NBA too. We have one little NBA segment here. But if you want to hear more NBA on Dimes on Duval, if you want to keep it as just a separate entity like this, I don't mind. Please, I'm open to all suggestions. But for now, we'll just keep it as like one little thing here and there, or whatever happens around the league. So since the season hasn't started yet, Mike, I wanted to talk to you about, and this is based off of ESPN's NBA power rankings, the most overrated and underrated teams that are preseason polled. So overrated, I'll let you go first. Overrated, you said the LA Clippers. Why?
Yes. Well, they choked last year. Absolutely choked away a playoff series. They were up 3-1 against the, who was it? Who were they playing? The Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They choked the series away. They were up, I think, 20 points in the third quarter in that game five, and they blew the game. And it started a whole collapse. They lost game six, lost game seven, ended up firing Doc Rivers. Like, and Montrezl Harrell left the Clippers.
Yep.
And it's just like, that team is on the verge of an epic
and
collapse.
And Michael Green.
I'm sorry, who?
And Jermichael Green, too. He was a key reserve.
I'll give you that.
I mean, he was an important role to that team down the stretch, in the playoffs at least.
Well, it didn't help him out much. But anyway, because I didn't really hear the name because of the connection. But either way, the Clippers right now, I think, are overrated. They are. Paul George, I still cannot believe he got an extension and everything. I was like, okay, what? Paul George, I'm sorry, I don't think Paul George is anything great. I think he's an average to just slightly above average player. He's going to ruin this team. I don't think the Clippers are good. They're going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be the first round exit next year. Mm. I just don't see the Clippers. Unless, obviously, like, if the Lakers get hurt with injury bug, other teams get hurt with injury bug, it's a clear path for the Clippers. But they need a lot of help on the injury side for other teams, which, obviously, I do not want to happen. Because I do think that – and I'm just glad the NBA is back. Granted, it's a much shorter season.
Right.
I just think the Clippers are overrated. And they, in fact, they fired Doc Rivers for Tyronn Lue. I'm good. The Clippers are not going to do anything for me.
Yeah, well, the Clippers bring in Serge Ibaka, former Kawhi Leonard teammate. They bring in Luke Kennard and Nicholas Batum. So nothing really big on that front. And like you said,
Ibaka could help them on the defensive end, but I just don't see much improvement.
Being ranked number four, I think, might have been kind of high. They're number four behind the Lakers, Bucks, and Nets. And I thought about the
So based on that, they're thinking the Clippers should be the number two seed in the West.
Right.
Based off that, I don't see. I think they're going to be like a maybe 4 or 5 seed.
Well, we shall see. So the Clippers are ranked fourth. I thought about putting the Nets as mine, but you know what? I'm just going to let them do their own thing. I decided to go a different route. I'm going to go down to number 9 on this list, the Philadelphia 76ers. And I know this is kind of a strange one because, you know, they're 9 and they were 8 last time we checked in, whatever, whoop-de-doo. Their title odds are plus 2,500. I don't even know what that means, but I just feel like it's not very good. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how Embiid and Simmons mesh with Doc Rivers, you know, the former coach of the Clippers, now heads up to Philadelphia. They get, you know, Danny Green and Seth Curry, which are, you know, decent additions. They should balance out the roster. But, like, I don't know. I think this season really depends on Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And I am one of those anti-Ben Simmons. I really don't think Ben Simmons is that great. I mean, the guy can't shoot a freaking basketball. He can't shoot a three, like, at all. At least Markelle Fultz can at least attempt him. Like, it blows my mind. And I think if one of those two either gets hurt or if they just, like, have a rough patch – in the season, I think they're going to get muddled in that East, which, you know, isn't that strong. But I really think the Heat are, you know, obviously are going to be way better than they were last year, ratings wise. I mean, like, in the conference, the Raptors are still good. The Celtics are still good. You know, it's like, I don't really think they should be that high. And yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to be that great. So I hope they fail. I honestly do. I don't like them.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, the one thing I'm glad the Sixers were able to do was able to get rid of that Al Horford contract. Granted, they did give up a first round pick, and right now they are not in the process or in the mindset of getting rid of. I'm sorry, they're not looking to use those picks. But right now they might need to hang on to those picks just in case Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid gets traded, because I know there's been rumblings recently about possibly trading one of them or both or resetting or rebuilding. Who knows?
Yeah,
But
Mike, the
Doc Rivers
process
is not
ended,
going to be a
Michael.
part.
The process ended. This is a
New regime.
whatever, new era in Philly.
Yeah. Yep. No, exactly. And I don't see Doc Rivers looking for a rebuild. I do think the Sixers will still be up there, like you said, but it does depend on Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Hopefully, if those two can get it together, they are looking for it. They're looking to be a threat in the East. But again, all the based on the chemistry between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Right on, yeah, right there with you. So we'll flip it to the other side with the underrated. Mike, who's your underrated? Pick me. It hit me. You had two that you were debating between. Which one you got?
I'm going with the Wash. I'm sorry, the Washington. Yeah, Washington Wizards. I'm going with Wizards because I am very curious to see how this Russell Westbrook Bradley Beal duo works this year. What Wizards did trade away John Wall. That was their franchise cornerstone for the last like 6, 7 years, and he lately has not played the last two. But I do believe that Russell Westbrook. I'm sorry, adds a new dynamic that John Wall could not, and that is health. Russell Westbrook has been one of the healthiest players in the NBA, and hopefully pairing him with Beal, who is an excellent player for in his own right, will help them get over the hump. And also, just Russell Westbrook now, he's not going to win. They're not going to win the NBA Finals with this team, no. But they'll possibly contend for a late bottom
They could take that spot
NBA
from us.
playoffs. Yep. They could take the 8th spot from Orlando Magic, be in the contention for the playoffs. But I think adding what helps the Wizards immensely.
Absolutely. And the development of Rui Hachimura, the 9th overall pick in Danny Avdija and Cassius Winston in the second round is good. They signed David Bertans and Robin Lopez. Good additions that should definitely help them out. I just, man, I hate to see that because they're in our division and I have to go right across to the Atlanta Hawks. I can't believe I'm saying this. So the Wizards were 19th and the Hawks were 20th. I think both of these teams are better than that. The Hawks just decided to say, let's just sign anybody we can. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rajon Rondo, Danilo Gallinari, Tony Snell, Solomon Hill. They drafted Onyeka Okongwu and Skylar Mays. They bring in a bunch of these guys, and Clint Capella was, brought in really late last year, and they still have Trae Young. I mean, like, the dude's still 21 years old. They have a lot of potential, and I think that, oh man, I think they're going to do better than what the rankings say, and it pains me to say that because I hate the Hawks. I don't like the Wizards very much, but I definitely hate the Hawks more than the Wizards, and it just, ugh. The Heat are the worst, though. We can agree on that, right? The Heat are the worst. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yes. Can't stand the Heat. But, well, we can't say anything because the Heat have been pretty good this lately. So I can't really be mad at them. They've been
They
balling.
treated
So,
life
but I'm not a fan of them. So I agree.
after LeBron and crew very well. I mean, they had a couple down years and they figured things out very quickly and brought in good players and drafted good players and just, sucks to see as the Magic sit here on the outside looking in with the same core that we've had for, 5, 6 years. So that's about all I've got today. Thank you so much to my guest, Mike Yashi, for coming
Hey.
on. We appreciate you coming on, buddy.
Good question, though. What is the final seeding for the Orlando Magic? What
Oh
do you think?
man. What did they extend the playoffs to? 10 teams?
Ten, well, 8 teams, but the 7 to 10
It
are
will
in the
be in the
play-in
10 in the
situation.
play-in situation. Yeah.
So you'll say
Yeah.
10?
Yeah.
I say we miss the play-in situation. I
Oh
think we're gonna fall
man,
down
I've
to
never
11.
been down on the Magic, but I just fear injuries are going to come back.
The team's, it's not the same. It's just, yeah, it's not gonna be
Let's hope we're
enough.
wrong. Let's please, please, basketball gods,
Yep.
if you're up there, dribble one for me and just, bounce a ball right for me, have a Markelle Markelle Fultz three that doesn't look like it's going to go in, actually hit the front of the rim and go in like a Kawhi Leonard shot. You know, like, I would love that. Let us beat the Heat. You know, I'd love to beat the Heat at least once this year to shut up some of the people that, you know, talk so much junk to me. I mean, yeah. Hey, man. At least we're
not
the
Cavs. Don't get your hopes up. But
we're not the Knicks.
Might be better than us. We'll see.
Okay.
I agree with that. No, one last thing. Just wrap it up. I know let's wrap up soon. NBA Finals, NBA champion.
Champion?
NBA Finals real quick. Champion, yeah, why not? Everyone makes preseason predictions,
give
right?
Me the Lakers again.
Why not us? Lakers over...
we'll just keep it plain and boring over the Bucks.
You're okay, wow. Okay, I was going to say Lakers over... Give me the Raptors next year.
All right.
Lakers over Raptors.
Hey, man, I don't want any of those teams to be in there. I want it to be the Magic beating the random team in the West. The San Antonio Spurs.
Kings.
Oh, the Kings. Yeah, that would be cool. Two teams that have small markets. Yeah, everybody would hate that, but except for us. So, for Mike Yazji, I'm Keith Manzi. Thank you for listening to this episode of Manzi's Magic, brought to you by Dimes on Duval. Take it easy and pure magic.